The second reading is from John chapter 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to be the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whatever you do this Christmas, around the tree or around the dinner table, do not talk about politics or religion, and do not turn on the evening news. How many of you have begun a family gathering with that sort of sentiment? I know I have. If it's not politics or religion or any other controversial subject, we think, then we can just enjoy one another's company. We can enjoy the gifts and the pie and the glow of the Christmas tree, the togetherness. We will do almost anything to get a little bit of this. And then after reclining in our chairs after a lovely meal, someone accidentally turns on the news. Before getting to the channel with the football game, someone accidentally turns on the news and then, quick, grab the remote, change the channel. Someone hit the news button. Someone blocked the TV. Send the kids to stand up. Or look at socks.
Back to America. We will get back on the plane because things are not good.
idealistic captain his depth, he ventured to Jerusalem, ready to make peace, ready even to die for the cause. So he moved into an East Jerusalem neighborhood and found a roommate and a part of the neighborhood. He made friends, and he found that his favorite coffee shop was right around the corner. He got to know the grocers who lined the streets, up and down the street, selling tomatoes and cucumbers. And in his idealistic bliss, he was taken aback when there was a loud boom one day, a loud explosion that rocked the ground on which he stood. Nathan said he felt helpless when he saw his adopted city. And strangers who were displaced or lost their lives. Nathan said, suddenly, it wasn't about politics anymore. It was personal. It was about his very own neighborhood. Nathan said that he tried to act normal, whatever normal was, while the violence continued. He would call a friend and talk about anything but what was happening right there in front of them. They would talk about what they were making for dinner. They would make plans to watch the next movie that was coming out, all while ignoring that the city was on fire. Eventually, Nathan saw that no progress was being made. There was no peace treaty. No more tourists were happily making their way down his city streets. A friend of him in New York called him on one of these really sad moments when he realized that peace was not happening. And she cried and cried because she was not invited to an Oscar party. Nathan said he wanted to comfort her, to pretend that her concern was real, because then he back to his neighborhood. Discouraged by he went to the Holy Jerusalem back to bring peace, but he realized that he couldn't live like that anymore, so he returned to New York. He found a New York apartment, signed a lease on September 1st. Living a peaceful life. He signed that lease and moved in just 10 days before 9/11, before those attacks that sent New York crumbling to the ground. The prophet Isaiah prophesies about the coming of a child king who would restore peace to the land, one who would rule with justice and righteousness. Isaiah had a vision for a king who would lead them, a child king who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah knew nothing of Jesus of Nazareth, born in a stable to two young parents, but Isaiah hoped. Isaiah hoped and trusted that the future was in God's hands. The prophet hoped that God would bring peace. All throughout the world's history, peace seems to be an elusive goal, something that slips right through our fingers, just when we think it might be possible to take hold. So what does it mean in today's gospel when Jesus says, "Peace I leave you"? Is he just handing us another platitude? Something to fill our Christmas stockings, but that will, in the end, leave us empty? What kind of hope does Jesus, the Messiah, really, really bring to us this Advent? Does Jesus have the power to bring peace? Or is peace just a pie-in-the-sky daydream? Well, the kind of peace that Jesus envisions is not just for me. It's not just for you. But it's for all. It's not about avoiding conflict, but about inviting Jesus into it. The kind of peace Jesus touts is not an individual peace, but it's communal. It's peace that permeates all people, all nations. It's a peace that we cannot achieve on our own, but only through meeting at the intersection of your heart and mine, your pain and mine, and that of the whole neighborhood, in fact, the whole world. When it comes to peace, I wonder, are we lamenting that there is no peace? Or are we resigned to it? Have we just flung up our hands in the air and resigned that there is no possibility of achieving peace? Well, then maybe we're looking at it all wrong. The concept of peace goes back to the understanding of the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom is so much more than a lack of war. Shalom is wholeness, contentment, safety, and prosperity. Prosperity that is not individual and it's not based on material goods, but as the whole of God's people, as the whole of God's creation, having enough. Might we be able to dream of peace if we set aside our own visions of peace and look towards God's vision? It's a vision where your peace is tied up together with my peace, where your joy is tied up together in my joy, where the joy of this neighborhood is tied to a joy of a neighborhood that is across the world, where justice for you also means justice for strangers who stand at the side of the road and beg for food, for work, for dignity. Where peace is possible even when things are not perfect. But when the love of God is present, when we have not resigned ourselves to conflict, but we aren't avoiding it either. Where the love of God makes it possible to sit around a table together. A table like this that is built with the body and the blood of Jesus. Now that would be a good start. Sometimes it's not about trying harder, but in getting off the never-ending treadmill. In letting go of the white-knuckled grip that we have on our own views to allow Christ to enter into the conversation. That, too, is a good path toward shalom. And you know, when I stand up here and I preach, I'm also preaching to myself. So I hope you hear in my message, this is a hope that I share for all of us. For each and every time we gather together, we greet one another with a sign of peace, God's peace. It is not an easy peace. It is not an insignificant peace. It is not a half-hearted peace, but it is the peace of God in Christ Jesus. And that is what I hope for you this day, this Advent, as we await the hope and the expectation of the coming Messiah. So may the peace of the Lord be with all of you. Let's share a sign of that peace with one another.